Գունգթրեք SBS հայերենը.
The Armenian National Committee of Australia continues its relentless work advocating Australian-Armenian community interests. Recently, on several occasions, Armenian issues were raised in federal parliament. For more information, let's welcome our special guest, Hayk Kayserian, Executive Director of Armenian National Committee of Australia. Hayk, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Thank you, Vaya, for having me.
Hayk, starting from the latest, we had planned to talk last week, but it was delayed because you had to travel to Canberra to meet the Russian ambassador to Australia. You have also met over the months with the ambassadors of Iran, Greece, Cyprus and others. What can you tell us about those meetings?
These meetings are obviously very interesting, and the contrast to the usual meetings that we have in Canberra with Australian parliamentarians. It's not a typical day for an Armenian National Committee of Australia community advocate to meet with an ambassador of another country. But when the interests of our communities lie with those countries, we do feel compelled to meet with them. And that's what happened, Vahe. Our community is obviously very concerned with what's going on in Armenia right now, particularly with Azerbaijan's incursion into sovereign Armenian territories in recent months, and considering it's Russia and its peacekeepers that are the main detracting force over there for the Azerbaijani military, the Turkish military, and also the jihadist mercenaries, we felt it was important to express our community's concern about what we're hearing from Armenia at the moment through the Russian ambassador. The Russian ambassador welcomed us at his residence, heard all of our issues, gave all of his government's positions and what he understood to be the latest from the ground. He assured us that the interests of the Russian government was to ensure peace is maintained in the region. They felt that they had to work quite hard in order to achieve that peace during the war, that they wanted a ceasefire earlier in the peace, but it came later because at the end of the day, both sides need to agree to that. They felt that their peacekeepers were overall being well received on the ground. They felt that a demarcation process would ultimately be the next step. We were very quick to say the next step we felt needed to be the full realization of the deal that was negotiated by Russia's president, which basically meant all POWs needed to be released by both countries, all for all. However, Armenian POWs were still in Azerbaijani captivity, with the number not even clear, but close to 100, 200, something along it seems to be what's quoted in the media. And whereas Armenia doesn't have any Azerbaijanis captive. That was in the agreement on November 10, and we said that if there's anything that the ambassador would take away from this meeting, is our community's extreme unease, extreme concern, extreme devastation at the fact that Armenian families are not whole right now because the enemy is continuing their war in a psychological way by keeping innocent Armenians captive while people in Armenia wait for their husbands, their fathers, their children, who are away from them. We felt that this is something that we could make very clear in our positioning and unity, that we expect that these people would return to their families and hopefully that goodwill will result in further resolutions towards an eventual peace. We obviously were very frank about the way we assessed Azerbaijan's occupation of the Republic of Artsakh, the invasion of the Republic of Armenia, the fact that the deal shouldn't be final and the OSCE Minsk group should be part of the final process along with the United States, France. And the Russian ambassador was obviously very receptive, was clear in his government's positioning and promised to take away our concerns and pass them upstream to Moscow.
High calls for the recognition of Armenian, Assyrian and Greek genocides are gaining momentum and the justice initiative is gaining more support. there seems to be a growing alliance of influential people and bodies calling for Australia to recognize the Armenian genocide. And many of these people seem to be contradicting their own government. Would you shed light on the activities that has led to this outpour of support?
Yes, thank you, Vahe, for bringing this up. I think there are a few occurrences that we haven't had control over, but the rest of them we have been part of that has contributed to this outpouring of support, as you put it, towards Australia's recognition of the Armenian genocide. And I think one of the things we don't control is definitely Joe Biden's recognition in the United States. The United States recognizing the Armenian genocide was always going to have an impact on Australia reviewing its position because Australia and the United States are allies. So when Joe Biden took that step, the historic step on April 24th, we thought that there would be change in Australia's policy brewing. But that was obviously brewing for some time. And you mentioned the Joint Justice Initiative. You know, in politics, they say money and numbers speak. Now, we're not a community by ourselves in terms of Armenians that's flush with numbers or flush with finances. So what was always going to be very important for us is building alliances. And of course, the Assyrian community and the Greek community are also made up of descendants of survivors of the same genocides in 1915 that were perpetrated by the Ottoman Empire. Uniting in a formal way, as we did last year under the banner of the Joint Justice Initiative and announcing in our nation's parliament that for our three communities, which now numbers a lot more together as we, you know, rather than what we do separately, the advocacy priority for our three communities is genocide recognition. And putting that pressure on the parliament meant that Scott Morrison, in his statement on the 24th of April this year, also went further than anybody else had before by referring to the genocides as dispossession, deportations and death of Armenians. So clearly not talking about that whole shared pain thing and also recognizing that Australia's first major international humanitarian relief effort was to aid the Armenians in 1915 and that Anzac POWs witnessed what happened to the Armenians in 1915. Now, these are definitely steps forward, but we know that unless somebody says the word genocide, it's not an acceptable statement to us. But this has all been the result of a growing campaign by our three communities to express that the will of our three communities is that Australia stands on the side of truth and justice. Since the recognition to reach the stage of April, we had a lot of politicians, especially many, as you said, part of the Morrison government, contradicting their own government's position and calling for genocide recognition. So that was obviously pretty major. But also, you know, other than having, you know, about 40 signatories to the Joint Justice Initiative in the federal parliament, we had calls from, you know, local mayors on Scott Morrison specifically, from the Jewish Australian community specifically, including through an editorial in the Australian Jewish News, calling on Scott Morrison to do what's right. Other community organizations like churches, networks of churches, the Arab Council of Australia, the Egyptian Coptic organization, and the Kurdish lobby in Australia. There's many, many communities that have come on board as a result of our joint advocacy as three communities and also the friendships that we've been able to form with, you know, fellow communities that fight for issues on behalf of their communities in Australia. I think in terms of where Australia's position is at the moment, as a result of all of this, and as a result of pressure continuing, by the way, since Scott Morrison's statement and Joe Biden's recognition, it probably culminated in what many people saw in Senate estimates a couple of weeks ago when Shadow Foreign Minister Penny Wong asked her counterpart in the government, Foreign Minister Maurice Payne, whether Joe Biden's recognition and the growing advocacy for recognition means for Australia's position on the Armenian genocide. And Senator Payne said that the issue is now under review, which is a formal expression from our country's top diplomat that the Australian government is seriously considering recognising the genocides of 1915. So we just need to continue to apply that pressure, continue to show that it is important for us that this recognition is achieved, and we can see that there are outcomes already.
Hayk, before she became minister, did you have regular contacts with Maryse Payne? Because I remember a long time ago, she was present at the Armenian Genocide Commemoration event in Melbourne.
Yes. Look, I think even while she's minister, we've had regular contact with Maryse Payne and her office. And that's a result of what you reflected on, Vahe. We've had a long-running relationship with Senator Payne in her political career. She sort of grew up the ranks of her political party with other Armenian Australians. She, one of my first experiences as an ANC AU advocate, a junior advocate, you know, who used to go to Parliament I don't know, over a decade ago, was meeting with Maryse Payne in her role at the time as the chair of the Armenia-Australia Parliamentary Friendship Group. So she used to chair that group during the Howard government. So she's had a long-running relationship. She's very familiar with the topic. She's extremely well-informed on the international occurrences of the issue. Her office is very engaged on this issue, probably more than we've had engagement with any foreign minister's office in Australia, in Australian history, really. So we're very pleased about the fact that these relationships over the years can result in a foreign minister that knows the issue. But, you know, we're not getting ahead of ourselves, because what we're after is an actual recognition of the genocide. And until that happens formally, we're not going to be celebrating.
Hi, a couple of weeks ago, during the Senate Estimates Committee, the foreign minister was questioned about Australian foreign ministry's silence on the invasion of Armenia's proper territory by Azerbaijan. What was the justification from the ministry?
Well, look, in our meetings with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, is that they know about the POWs issue, and that they are presenting the POWs issue, as well as calling on Azerbaijan to stop their invasion of Armenia and return to their own territories so that peace can actually ensue there. They did say that they know about these issues, and they're making representations privately through Australia's diplomatic channels, through ambassadors and the like. But they hadn't made a public statement, which we all know about. We have been calling for a public statement from Australia, A, call on Azerbaijan to release all POWs, and B, to call on Azerbaijan's troops to leave Armenia's sovereign borders, at the very least Armenia's sovereign borders, because Armenia's sovereign borders are recognised by Australia. And many other countries, including the United States, France, Canada, the Netherlands and other European countries, have very clearly taken the public position to do these things, to call on POW release and to call on the withdrawal of Azerbaijani troops from Armenian territories. Now, while the government again confirmed during estimates, the foreign ministry representative, that private representations were made, Mr. John Gearing seemed to be leaning towards not making a public statement on the issue, but he was interrupted, it seems, when Penny Wong asked the question that, is it an actual decision by Australia not to make a public statement on these issues? Senator Payne, Minister Payne at that point, stepped in and said it is not a decision, not a US statement, which was recently made at that point, was only made last week, and that we are also reviewing as a government making a public statement on this issue. So once again, Senator Payne seemed to hint that this issue of making a public statement was also under review, and they are considering Australia making a public statement on the issue. So Senator Penny Wong, I should mentioned here, was excellent in her prosecution on the genocide issue and the Azerbaijan issue during estimates. And, you know, we thank organizations like the Australian Catholic Church Council of Bishops, the Uniting Church Australia, the New South Wales Ecumenical Council, for complying with our request and calling on Azerbaijan's or condemning Azerbaijan's desecration of Armenian churches in Artsakh, because this was also brought up by Senator Penny Wong. And while the foreign ministry official kept trying to deflect and say that there's, you know, sort of reports of desecration from both sides, it's 70%+ of Artsakh that's occupied. It's not Azerbaijan that's occupied. So this false equivalence was, I think, quite clearly exposed during that. But the invoking of those statements by those three church bodies shows that our advocacy as a community has an impact even in the highest levels of parliament.
Hi, what's your view on Armenia's election?
Look, the elections in Armenia, it was held at a very interesting time, and we are thankful that they're over. And hopefully we can all focus on building Armenia's statehood. That is what's been damaged in the last 8 months, partially obviously because of Azerbaijan and Turkey and these forces that have attacked it, but also partially because of what has occurred locally, and the Armenian people have been passing judgment on that now for a number of months since the end of the war. Where we are at now is where we believe, always been as the Armenian National Committee of Australia, we believe that Armenian statehood is above all else. We need to stand for a sustainable and strong Armenia. We expect that the government will stand for the rights of our ancestors, because they are the rights of all of our ancestors, vis-a-vis obviously the Armenian genocide. And Turkey comes knocking and wants to open borders, there needs to be a clear reflection of those issues and an adjudication of those issues. Any relationship we welcome, but it needs to be built on trust, and it needs to be built on honesty. Otherwise, it's destined to fail. We've seen it time and again around the world. We expect the government will stand for this rights to self-determination of the Republic of Artsakh, and the Republic of Artsakh being whole again, free again, safe again, will be in its utmost considerations. We expect the Armenian government to stand for strong Armenian borders, and that those borders will be defined as what we know to be Armenia and sovereign, and that they won't be ceded because of any pressure from any country or power. And in these endeavours, which is the endeavours obviously that also concerns the diaspora, the Armenian National Committee will stand shoulder to shoulder for Armenian statehood with all of those that want to protect it. The elections were considered by many international bodies as being quite vile in its nature and language, quite divisive within the communities as well. And the fact that they are over, with a strong opposition, a stronger opposition, should bode well for Armenia's democracy. And we shouldn't be afraid of debate. We should allow for debate. We should allow for people to think differently on issues, because that will only keep everybody accountable and the country and the statehood stronger.
Hi, thank you for the updates and your readiness to talk to SBS Armenian.
Take care, bye.
Կուզես լսել նման բաժնություններ, կընտրե Apple Podcast-ի, Google Podcast-ի, Spotify-ի վրա, կամ որտեղեն որ podcast-ը կլսես։